Father, we thank you tonight for those who came out to sit in your presence and to eat fresh manna from your table. Father God, bless this teaching tonight. Let your angelic host be walking to and fro throughout these chairs. And Father God, I know that I know that I know that you're here tonight to do a perfect work within each one of your children. So Father God, right now as we stand on your word, as we stand on your love, and we stand on your grace and your mercy, I'm asking you, Father God, to bless these people. They have been so changed during this revival, Father. And Father God, each day they become more like your Son, Jesus. And for this I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I am singing a lot of joy and happiness come into the house of God, which is, I really feel good about that. I really appreciate how God's been moving in our midst and how people are being blessed. Amen. So he's just saying, be encouraged tonight. Know that he's with us. He's not against us. And that he's going to stay with us. And no matter where he takes you to, he'll stay with you. And he's telling me to tell you that you'll meet many upon the road that he places your feet upon that don't know anything about him, but just because of you. Just because of you and your presence, they'll know there is a Jesus. Amen. And that's awesome. That's awesome. How many of you know that you serve a God that's not in a box? And he'll never be in a box. He's free. And he wants each one of us to be free tonight. He wants us to quit allowing Satan to put us in a box. He wants us to quit allowing Satan to bind us up. Amen. Tonight I'm going to teach on the power of the blessing. Tomorrow night, next time I appear, I'll teach. God wanted me to teach on the threefold blessing, but I just did not have the time this afternoon to get that together properly. So let's talk about the power of the blessing. Invoking the power of the blessing, blessings you can receive and how to give them away. We are blessed by God so we can be a blessing. God blesses us so we can be a blessing to somebody else. We are to proclaim blessings over our families, churches, cities, and nations. Some of you may say, my parents never spoke words of blessing to me, and I know there's a lot of people in the house of God that they can say amen to that. Nobody has ever given me any prophetic words. This is true. There's a lot of places you don't get a prophetic word. I don't know what my blessings are, and that's true. Some of you don't know what your blessings are. But if you come here often enough, you know what your blessings are. You have been getting a prophetic word, and God is on the move in your life. I want you to be encouraged tonight, because we're going to look at some powerful and obtainable blessings that each one of us can receive from our Heavenly Father. You're blessed to be a blessing. The Father has placed you on the earth for such a time as this. We all have to get at that in our spirit. This is a time that God needs to use us. He's been training us up to this point, and now he's ready to use us. I know when we was at the march, and the young man, he didn't know me from Piano Beans, and he prophesied into my life, and he said, you don't prophesy over everybody like you used to, and this man doesn't know me. The reason why you don't prophesy over everybody like you used to is because you're training others so they can go out and do the works of the Father. And this is what's happening. You guys are getting trained in the prophetic so you can go forth and do the great works that God needs to be done. It's time for you to become an ambassador of blessing. Instead of walking around with curses on your lips all the time, we need to be ambassadors of blessings and speak blessings over everybody. We can use proclaiming the blessing of God as a powerful tool of spiritual warfare. Now, I read this little blip that James Gold had written, and this is what he said. We can use proclaiming the blessings of God as a powerful tool of spiritual warfare. James Gold had a dream. Light was being released into and over people. Suddenly, they were being healed without anyone touching them. He had this dream repeatedly, and he knew it dealt with the reality of the power of the blessing. The power of proclamation is the switch you must, this is what he continued to say, is a switch you flip on in order to turn the light on in the Father's house. And James Gold went on to state. One time when ministering in Cambodia, I was doing a series of messages on the nature of curses, causes, and cures. At the end of the session, instead of directly addressing the powers of evil, the Holy Spirit led me to a different application of invoking the power of the blessing through declaring the blessings of God. We can directly address generational curses as well as the powers of territorial spirits to see them bound and their power broken. But the Lord's application for this setting was declaring light to come, light to be, and declaring the power of the blessing over these individuals when it was doing deliverance. The result was supernatural healings took place and spontaneous healings took place. All right? New avenue there. You guys might already be doing that, but that's a new avenue there. Why? Because the power of the blessing is greater than the power of the curse. So you guys are doing on the deliverance team, you need to start seeking God about declaring blessings over those that you're doing deliverance on, and watch the devil's flee is the gist of his little thing he wrote. All right, definitions of blessing. Blessings overcome curses. Proclamations releases the power. Proclamation releases the power. The Hebrew definition to bless is the root word barak, means to kneel, and by implication means to bless. The word is used throughout the Hebrew scriptures. And Psalm 135:19-20 says, "Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord." Number 2, blessing, meaning blessing in Hebrew, speakers use the word berakah for blessing. The word berakah comes from the root word barak, and berakah means benediction, the act of invoking a blessing. The word is used almost 70 times in the Old Testament. And Psalm 133 said, "It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." The light bulb came on when I read this. When God said it was a dew of Hermon, he was putting on me, he was blessing me with life forevermore. Hallelujah. You can shout. Amen. All right, the English dictionary definition is to bless, to invoke the divine favor on, to bestow happiness, prosperity, or good things of all kinds, to make a pronouncement holy, to consecrate, to glorify for the benefits received, to extol for excellencies. Now, a blessing, a prayer or solemn wish, imploring happiness upon another, a benediction, the act of pronouncing a benediction or blessing, that which promotes prosperity and welfare. The nature of the blessing, the blessings bring forth life. The nature of the blessing, blessings bring forth life. A blessing is proclaimed, pronounced audibly, written, or wished. A blessing continues on in time from generation to generation, and blessings are not usually for individuals, but rather for families. All right, so if Brother Barbara is blessed, it'll go down into her generation, all right? It just doesn't stop with her. It just keeps going down in her generation. And we same as we know with curses, when you know, one is cursed and it goes down a generation. Now, if we get cursed, we want to break that. If we're being blessed, we don't want to break that. We want that to keep on going. Now, our working definition, James Gold stated that his working definition of the word blessing is this: a blessing is a word spoken for good that carries spiritual power and authority, and that sets in motion something that will probably go on from generation to generation. Now, let's look at some some scriptural examples of blessings. You know, when I first started church, God said, daughter, the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will always be upon this church, always. And this is why when I pray, I always say, may the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, like be in the offering or whatever we're praying for, because those are blessings, and God's told me that will always be on this church. So I'm passing it on to everybody else, that blessing. Now, scriptural examples of blessings in Genesis 22:15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time. The angel said, you were ready to kill your only son for me. Since you did this for me, I make you this promise. I, the Lord, promise that I will surely bless you and give you as many descendants as the stars in the sky. There will be as many people as sand on the seashore, and your people will live in cities that they will take from their enemies. Every nation on the earth will be blessed through your descendants. I will do this because you obeyed me. So Abraham was blessed by God, and his seed multiplied. This blessing is perpetual. So, this blessing that God gave to Abraham, it just goes right down the generation. Why did he get blessed? Because he obeyed. So if you're obedient to God, God will bless you, and he won't curse you. All right, number two, Genesis 27:27 says, so Jacob went to his father and kissed him. When Isaac smelled Esau's clothes, he blessed him and said, my son smells like the fields the Lord has blessed. May God give you plenty of rain, good crops, and wine. Now we know the story about Jacob. You know, he pretended like he was Esau, all right? And that's who the father who was blind thought he was talking to. Now may the nation serve you and many people bow down to you. You will rule over your brothers. Your mother's son will bow down to you and obey you. Whoever curse, you will be cursed. Whoever blesses, you will be blessed. Now, Isaac just gave his Esau's blessing to Jacob instead of Esau. See that? Now, let's look at Deuteronomy 28:1-14. Now, if you will be careful to obey the Lord your God and follow all his commandments that I tell you today, the Lord your God will put you high above all the nations on earth. If you will obey the Lord your God, all these blessings will come to you and be yours. He will bless you in the city and in the field. He will see, it's all about obedience. If you're going to be blessed, it's all about obedience. Remember years ago, whenever I was always walking under the blessing, and God said, daughter, now you're going to walk under the curse. And that was awful. And Brother Christopher said, no, you are not either. But then he's not God, is he? But I went under the curse at that point. And there's a difference in being blessed and being cursed. He will bless you and give you many children. He will bless your land and give you good crops. He will bless your animals and let them have many babies. He will bless you with calves and lambs. He will bless your baskets and pans and fill them with food. He will bless you at all times in everything you do. The Lord will help you defeat your enemies who come to fight against you. Your enemies will come against you one way, but they will run away from you seven different ways. The Lord will bless you and fill your barns. He will bless everything you do. The Lord your God will bless you in the land that he is giving you. If you follow the Lord your God and obey his commandments, he will do what he promised. The Lord will make you his own special people. Then all the people in that land will see that you are called to be the Lord's people, and they will be afraid of you. And the Lord will give you many good things. He will give you many children. He will give your cows many calves. He will give you a good harvest in the land that the Lord promised your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open his storehouse where he keeps his rich blessings. He will send rain at the right time for your land. He will bless everything you do. You will have money to lend to many nations, and you shall not need to borrow anything from them. The Lord will make you be like the head, not the tail. You'll be on top, not on the bottom. This will happen if you listen to the commands of the Lord, your God, that I tell you today. You must carefully obey these commands. Excuse me. You must not turn away from any of the teachings that I give you today. You must not turn away to the right or to the left. You must not follow other gods to serve them. So that's how they were going to be blessed, if they were obedient. And then you can go, I don't want to read about the curses, we're talking about the blessing. But it said, if you don't do that, then all these curses are going to come upon you. All right? Now, God stated conditions for receiving specific personal and corporate blessings can be summed up as listening to and obeying the voice of the Lord. And that's why the body of Christ is not being blessed, because they hear what God says, but they are not obedient to the voice of the Lord. We are blessed to be a blessing. Genesis 12, 2 and 3 lists the details of God's blessing over Abraham. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Because of Abraham, we walk under the blessing. All right? As long as we're obedient. Now, if we become disobedient, then we don't walk under that blessing. We walk under the curse. It's in the Word. The blessing in Genesis 12 is amazing and powerful, and yet Jesus has brought us greater promises and blessings than these Old Testament blessings, according to Hebrews 8:6. You can read that when you go home. When Esau recognized that he had lost his father's blessing forever, he cried out in anguish. What I want you to do while we're reading these is I want you to think about, are you being blessed or are you being cursed? And if you're being cursed, why are you being cursed? Is it because you are disobedient to something God told you to do? Okay? So in Genesis 27:34, when Esau heard his father's words, he became very angry and bitter. He cried out and said to his father, "Then bless me also, father." There was something about the first male child was always blessed by the father. They received a special blessing in the Word, all right? Genesis 27:35, Isaac said, "Your brother tricked me. He came and took your blessing." Esau said, "His name is Jacob. That is the right name for him. He has tricked me twice. He took away my rights as a firstborn son, and now he has taken away my blessing." Then Esau said, "Have you saved any blessing for me?" Isaac answered, "I have already given Jacob the power to rule over you, and I saw his brothers would be his servants. I have given him the blessing for much grain and wine. There is nothing left to give you, my son." But Esau continued to beg his father, "Do you have only one blessing, father? Bless me also, father." Esau began to cry. Then Isaac said to him, this is his blessing now, "You will not live on good land. You will not have much rain. You will have to fight to live, and you will be a slave to your brother. But when you fight to be free, you will break away from his control." That was a terrible blessing, I would say, right? The blessing on Esau was not a true blessing. It was a conditional blessing. I'd like to read you a story from Genesis 32. Now, as I was typing this, I thought, no, I don't think I'd have cried out for that blessing. Amen. All right. "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Is there a fear staring you in the face right now? Are you finding your faith in God's promise shaking? If so, you are likely praying desperately for God to be with you. God will answer you, but you might, like Jacob in Genesis 32, be surprised by his answer. As we're crying out to God to help us, we might be surprised in what avenue he goes down. Jacob leaned on his... This is my story now, I'm telling you, all right? It's Jacob leaned on his staff, staring at the stars. He was looking for hope. "Number the stars. If you are able to number them, so shall your offspring be." This is what God told him in Genesis 15:5. Yahweh had promised this to Father Abraham. Jacob's body was tired, but his mind was restless. Daylight was approaching, and Esau with it. He was going to meet his brother, the one he tricked, all right? He wrapped himself tighter in his cloak and squatted down. He was cold, and the fire had cooled to glowing coals. He stared at the ground. And Genesis 28:14 says, "Your offering shall be like the dust of the earth." Yahweh had promised this to him 2 decades ago, when all he carried to Haran was this staff. That was God's promise to Jacob. Now he was returning home with 11 sons and a daughter, a God-blessed abundance of offspring, even if not yet the dust of the earth. But Esau was coming, and 400 men with him. Hadn't the fire of revenge cooled after 20 years? 400? More than enough to turn his beloved children into the dust of the earth. He prayed desperately in Genesis 31:3, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, deliver me from Esau. You commanded me return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and you promised I will be with you. See here, God had told him what to do, and he was doing it, but he was scared to death of his brother again, all right? So how many of us, God has told us to do something, and we're doing it, but we just don't know what the outcome is going to be. Yahweh, 400 men will wipe us out. Please, I need you with me. Just then he heard splashing. He looked up, squinting toward the Jabbok. A man was crossing the ford, heading toward him. He didn't recognize the determined gait. Jacob stood. Fear shot through him. He said, Esau, no. He knew Esau's stride, but he wasn't relieved. He knew this man was coming for him. The stranger stopped 3 feet in front of Jacob. He looked strong. His eyes were intense and inscrutable. Neither man spoke. Jacob felt a familiar fear, but he couldn't place it. Had they met before? Instinctively, Jacob began to raise his staff in defense. With startling speed, the man wrenched it away and threw it aside. Jacob was more confused. What did he want? Then the stranger struck a stance every Semite boy would recognize. Wrestling was an ancient martial art. The silent adversary wanted a contest. Jacob was perplexed, but knew he had no choice. The men circled twice, eyeing each other. Then a twitch, an adrenaline rush, and the two locked in grappled combat. This nameless foe was powerful, yet Jacob was surprised at his ability to counter him. But the longer they struggled, the more Jacob sensed that his opponent was no mere man. He now placed a familiar fear. It was what he felt at every encounter with Yahweh. And he began to understand that this wrestling was somehow connected to all that lay ahead of him tomorrow. Who was this? An angel? Was it God? Was this struggle an answered prayer? The men broke apart, each leaning on his knees to catch his breath. They shared a glance of recognition. You know, as you listen to this, he's wrestling with an angel. And, you know, an angel could just, you know, flip him off, right? Destroy him. They shared a glance of recognition, and a desperate resolve formed in Jacob. Having been a deceiver, living among deceivers, he had learned that God was the only rock that could support his trust, and the only real source of his hope was God's promised blessing. See, he was keep remembering God's blessing as he's wrestling with his angel. His life depended on it, now more than ever. God was now within his grasp. Jacob would not let him leave without his blessing. The stranger's attention suddenly turned to the horizon. Light was glowing over the eastern hills, and Jacob saw his moment. Darting quickly, he seized his opponent from behind and locked his hands around his chest. The challenger tried to free himself, but Jacob held fast. Now, how could you do that to an angel? That angel had let him do that, right? Then he swung his fist down on Jacob's right hip. Jacob screamed as the pain exploded. His leg gave way, but his grip did not. He could endure pain, but not this day without God's blessing. For the first time, the man spoke, "Let me go, for the day has broken." Jacob, wincing hard, whispered through clenched teeth, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Struggled all night. Now he's got his hip messed up, right? He's not about to walk away with nothing. Instantly, he felt the man yield. The contest was over. "What is your name?" the man asked. Jacob came a groan. "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Jacob grumbled. He got his blessing. Jacob crumbled to the ground and grabbed his hip. Striven with God. Panting, he said, "Please tell me your name." The man's eyes were intense with affection. He said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And with that, he turned and crossed back over the Jabbok. Yeah, it amazed me that the angel wouldn't tell him his name. Jacob began the night believing his greatest need was to escape from Esau. He ended the night believing his greatest need was to trust in the blessing of God's promise. He began the night believing his greatest need was to escape from Esau. He ended the night believing his greatest need was to trust in the blessing of God's promise. And what changed him from fearing man to trusting God's word was prolonged and painful wrestling with God. Sometimes in your battle with unbelief, your greatest ally will wrestle you. He might even make you limp until you're desperate enough to say, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I believe with all my heart that the reason why the body of Christ is not blessed the way God wants to bless us is because we don't wrestle. We just give up. We aren't like Jacob. We don't wrestle with God until he blesses us. We just, you know, we're a bunch of wimps and say, oh, well, you know, you don't want to bless me. I'll just go on. But that's not true. God wants to bless every one of us. He wants us to be a blessing so we can be a blessing to others. We're supposed to have enough in our coffers to supply our needs and then enough running over to supply other people's needs. And that's a blessing. But I don't see that happening in the body of Christ. We should be taking our prophetic words and we should be striving with God with them. This is what you said, and I want you to bless me with this. And God said, this is a year of Jubilee. This is a true year of Jubilee. It's been all over the media. This is a true year of Jubilee. This is a year that God wants to bless the body of Christ. Are you ready to receive your blessing? You're saying that with your lips. But are you going to strive with God until you get it? We say a lot with our lips that we never do another thing with. Yep, that's what I want. But it's not down in your heart yet. I know what it is to strive with God, though. He blessed me with what he promised me. And, you know, and I've had to cry out to him and just then get upset with him and, you know, and just keep fighting with him, arguing with him until he finally gives me that blessing that he promised me. And I'm going to tell you, he's just not going to drop it on your lap. You're going to have to go to him and you're going to have to, you might have to spend a couple hours. Just like Jacob did before you get your blessing. What's a couple hours if what you're going to get is a blessing in the end? Spend a couple hours on your computer, clearing out your junk mail. Spend a couple hours in the movie theaters. Spend a couple hours on the telephone. You know, so why not spend some quality time with God, wrestle with God until he gives you your blessing? What was it about the woman that went to the judge all the time, you know, and he kept telling her no, but she kept going back and he kept telling her no and she kept going back. Finally said, all right, I'm going to give you what you want. See, she was not going to take no for an answer. And see, this is what God told me one time. You always settle for second best. I want you to have the very best. In other words, he's telling me, you keep coming to me until you get what I promised you. Are you listening here? Come on. I want you to get this in your spirit tonight, because when I asked God what I should be teaching tonight, he said he wanted me to teach him the threefold blessing. You're only getting the blessing part. I'm going to do the rest later because I didn't have enough time to do it justice. But I'm going to tell you right now, God wants to start blessing you right now, because this is revival. This is a year of Jubilee. And don't miss out on your Jubilee. Now, God told me too, he said, you know, some won't believe it's a year of Jubilee, because people have been saying that all along. And a couple years ago, when I said, God, everybody's always saying this is a year of Jubilee. He said, the year of Jubilee is anytime you can believe for your Jubilee. But this is the actual year of Jubilee. And you can still just miss this whole year not believing that you're going to get anything. You're just going to sit around, God's going to drop it on me. No, he's not. No, he's not. You want to quit smoking? Get before God then. Instead of lighting up your cigarette, get before God and wrestle with God to take that thing from you. You're glutton. Instead of eating, get before God and you know, stay before God until he takes that gluttony spirit away from you. Didn't we just, James Gold said that if you could speak a blessing and those spirits had to leave. Isn't that what we said to begin with? So, bless me, God. Take this spirit of gluttony out of me. or illness, whatever you have. Instead of going to the doctor, you spend hours going to the doctor who doesn't know what he's doing. You know? Get before God. God knows what he is, the great physician. You know, I struggle with my heart, you know, just not beating right for you. It would just vibrate me. And then I was going to a doctor, and finally he gave me some pills. I said, what are these for? He said, I don't know. I'm just going to experiment and see what they do. I said, no, you just keep your prescription. I don't need you to experiment with me. All right? This is what doctors do. God doesn't experiment with us. God, you said, you spoke to me over and over again that I'm healed. And I'll stay in my face until I'm healed. All right? I want that blessing of healing over my body. I want that blessing of me and my husband getting back together. You know, if your marriage is falling apart. I want that blessing that you promised me you're going to straighten my kids up. You're going to take these spirits that are in them from the drug addiction that their parents had. You promised me you was going to free them up. That I want that blessing right now. I don't want it down the road. I don't want it next week because it's driving me to distraction right now. I want it done right now. Right now. That's what Jacob did. He kept struggling with it, kept wrestling with that angel. If you have to say, God sent an angel so him and I can fight. Whatever it takes, but stay with God until you get your blessing. You promised me a home, Lord. Disobedience. So don't wrestle. Amen. Not unless you're in obedience. Then you can wrestle. Come on. God told me you was going to get your home in a way that would blow my mind. So get in obedience because I want my mind to be blown. Amen. And then wrestle with God and get your house. You see what I'm saying? Sister Julie and her husband donated a car to the church, and I hadn't seen it. And the other day, our car broke down and we was ordering a part for it. So we drove that car. I said, this is the kind of car I've been wanting. I love it. But you know, the next day I looked at it, I said, oh, it's got dings on it. You know, it has dings on it and it's dirty. And you know, God, I'm not going to settle for second best. I'm still going to ride the car though. Drive the car until God gives me. But I said, God, I want a brand new. You showed me a brand new car. And this is what I want. You know what color that I saw the color you put. It was the same color I want. I'm not going to settle for second best, even though this is really nice. But see, I'm not going to settle for second best. You know what I'm saying? We want the very best. We'll drive you guys around if you need a way home in second best. Come on, because the car really is nice. You can sit there and you can eat the crumbs if you want. But God does not want us to eat the crumbs. We are supposed to be children of the King, right? I can guarantee you there's no children of the King going to sit and eat the crumbs that fall on the floor. They'll put the crumbs on the floor. Amen? That's true, right? You want to be blessed and not cursed. All right, sometimes in your battle with unbelief, your greatest ally will wrestle you. He might even make you limp until you're desperate enough to say, I will not let go unless you bless me. It is a great mercy to be brought to the point where you're desperate enough to insist on getting your blessing. See, my car's falling apart. I'm desperate to get my blessing. Are you understand what I'm saying? My kids are driving me to distraction. I'm desperate for my blessing. Are we understanding this? Until you get desperate, your blessing's not going to come upon you. See, because you're like a little bunch of little kids already. And if God would just drop blessings on your lap, you would stay a little kid. And you'd be lazy and demanding. And God's not going to have that. He wants us full-grown, mature children. He wants us to understand what it is to work for something. So we can go out and say, look what God gave me. Amen. Because when you become obedient and then you wrestle with God and he gives you that good thing, you can go out and say, look, you'll forget all about the wrestling. And all you'll want is a good thing. Are you understanding this? Come on. Genesis 1:21 says God blessed them. Every time God blesses, it's a gift of grace. It's a gift of grace. Don't take it for granted. I know that that's one thing that's wrong with the body of Christ. When God blesses us, we take it for granted. They owe me that. No, we don't owe you nothing, you nerd. God doesn't owe you anything. He doesn't. It's a gift of grace. It's a gift of grace. When I opened my big fat mouth and told everybody that Nancy and them hadn't washed her clothes for a whole month, I heard that you guys gathered around and you're going to wash her clothes. Now, you didn't deserve that. It wasn't God's fault you didn't lot your time right. Do your washing during the day and your other stuff at night. It was God's grace. All right? Come on. I don't know what they did. I was just trying to make an example here. They're really busy for the Lord. They really are. I can't hardly keep up with two kids, let alone nine. Because he hasn't grown up yet. You know, he's going to grow up just so I quit picking on him. You know that, don't you? That's why I pick on him. Then I'll pick somebody else to pick on till you grow up. Come on. You should go to God every day and say, God, you should wrestle with God. Say, God, clean that man up. Make him obedient so I can get my house. Wrestle with him till he obeys. I've lost my place. All right, I said, every time God blesses, it's a gift of grace. The word for bless or blessing is so crucial. It's used over 400 times just in the Old Testament alone. God starts by creating, and then God blesses. He created your mess in your marriage. Now he wants to bless it. I can pick on them because they love me. They don't have a mess in their marriage. But anyhow, God starts by creating, and then God blesses. I'm going to tell you, Brett will sit back. When I'm up here preaching, he reaches and holds her hand, and puts his hand on her knee. And I said, come on, Brett, you're not impressing me at all. I don't want to see you holding her hand or touching her knee. I want you upstairs helping her clean. I want you to help her the kids, and give her some relief time so she can take a nap. I want to see you take some load off her. That will impress me. Holding her hand doesn't impress me. I found out holding hands is just a facade anyhow. It is. And, you'd be better off not to hold her hand. See, with Brett, God, I know when he's doing wrong because God gets upset with him and God lets me know he's upset with him. And God really gets upset with him, doesn't he? You want me to move on now? All right, I said, God starts by creating, then God blesses. God made creation because he wanted something to bless. God created a human being because he wanted somebody to bless. On the seventh day, God rests. He loves the seventh day so much that he blesses the seventh day. Then God is blessed. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. And see, we just rubbed God's nose in the dirt because we don't really make God's seventh day holy. We don't rest on it. We do all kind of junk when we should be resting in God. In blessing the seventh day, God is blessing the human race to be able to experience rest. Then after the flood, God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. God loves to bless, so he creates human beings, in his image to be both blessed and also blessers. He wants to be able to give blessing. He wants you to receive his blessings, then you go back out and bless somebody else. It grieves my heart to see people sit in the house of God and they get so upset if they have to bless somebody else. Rah, 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 rah. That isn't godly. God's blessing you, so why not bless somebody else? And when you give somebody else out of your need, then God's going to bless you more abundantly. All right? This gets clear when God talks to Abraham and says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and all people on earth will be blessed through you. In Genesis 12:2. Now, Abraham is our father, right? All his blessings come down upon us, right? Then why are we not blessed? Why are we cursed? Why don't we have enough? Why does the enemy habitate our bodies? I don't know the answer. I'm just throwing that out there for you to think about. Amen. Come on. There's a whole lot of people sitting here who could say, I've really been disobedient in many areas of my life to God. And that's why I'm not being properly blessed. All right, then if that's the fact, then repent and then start getting blessed. Amen. All right, we are blessed by God so we can be a blessing to others. And I can say that the body of Christ that comes here on a regular basis, you are really blessed and you bless others. And it just really warms my heart to watch that and to see that. And every time I mention there's a need, you guys are right there to jump in there and help that need. And I think that's wonderful. Now I have another need. The bathrooms need cleaned. The teenagers are not cleaning them. I'm going to make them go in there and sit in there for 2 hours and see how they like the dirty bathroom. See, they should clean them so they're a blessing to others, right? But tonight, I know that God's made, I've made light of a lot of things, and God had a little bit of fun here, but he's very serious, and he had me play the song, Will You Ride? Now, if you really told God when you sang that song, I want to ride with you, Father, then he wants to bless you. Because the only way that you can really ride for him and be a witness for him is if you're walking under the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I'm not talking about material things. I am not. I'm talking about spiritual things. If we aren't blessed with spiritual things, then we're never going to get the material things. The material things are going to fade away. But I'm going to tell you, when you're blessed by God and he increases that anointing within you, you do bless others. Every year, they look forward to the lighthouse being at the March for Jesus. They look forward to that prophetic booth. And that young man wanted to meet the pastor who you guys were under. He wanted to see who that pastor was so he could know, have a face matching the anointing that was coming out of that tent. See, you were blessing, you're being blessed. You guys are prophesying. And then you became a blessing. And you were busy all day in that tent, weren't you? I didn't see you standing around at all. But see, I saw people cry. I saw people laugh. You know, and that guy that wanted to meet me, he said he came there bound. But he was set free sitting in that tent. He was freed up. So you see, guys, we're being blessed. And now we have to be a blessing to others. We have to pass on this anointing. We have to pass on these giftings. Okay? Now, if you really told God you wanted to ride with him, and I saw a lot of you did, I think all of you did, then God wants you to come to the altar tonight. He's going to give you a special blessing that when you leave here, it's going to emanate off of you. And you're going to be a blessing to everybody that you come in contact with. And that's a truly a great piece of grace from the Father.